You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, as we continue in our series, Be Set Free. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, and today we're going to use the King James Version because it's a better translation of the Greek. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much that You know everything about us. I just thank You, Lord. You know everything that we struggle with, everything that gets us down, everything that tries to take control of our lives, everything that has us bound. Just thank You, Lord, that You love us anyway, and You provide the way through Your Son and through the cross to set us free from those things. I pray You'd show us today how we can be set free from that anger in our lives that does not belong. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. June 2nd, 2007, Wrigley Field. Cubs outfielder Angel Pagan tries to take third on a wild pitch, but he's called out on a close play. And Cubs manager Lou Piniella comes out to argue the call. And nobody ever did it better than Sweet Lou. Don't try to read lips. Have to back it up, yeah. Oh, that's it? Okay. Now, we think it's funny when we see somebody else having a meltdown, don't we? But it's not so funny when we do it ourselves. And even though we may not always act like that on the outside, there's times we do feel like that on the inside, don't we? Anger. That can take control of our lives and shut us down. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do with it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Be Set Free, looking at how Jesus Christ can set us free from all kinds of nasty things in our lives that keep us bound and keep us from living the life that God wants us to have. And today, we look at how Jesus Christ can set us free from all that anger in our lives that's uncalled for and causes us to sin. And to see that, we turn this morning to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, the thing that makes us the most angry are the sins that other people commit against us. But 1 John chapter 2 here talks about grace that's available through Jesus Christ. Grace that takes away the anger that God has over the sins that we commit against Him, and also grace that takes away the anger that we have over the sins that other people commit against us. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, tells us three things that we need to do in order to be set free from all that unrighteous anger in our lives that has us bound. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to be set free from that anger is we need to understand what it is. Verse 2 here, the word propitiation talks about anger and wrath. And folks, we need to realize there is absolutely nothing wrong with anger in and of itself, because it is a totally natural emotion that God gives us to let us know when somebody is ripping us off or slamming us, and that gives us the guts to stand up to what's wrong. And because anger can be used for either good or evil, there's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. And anger is not a primary emotion. It's called a secondary emotion because there's always something else that causes it. So to understand anger, we need to understand all those causes for it, like injustice or frustration. Last Sunday, British Open, Tiger Woods is 5 under par and needs to birdie 18 to get in the playoff. But then right during his backswing on a tee shot, some knucklehead from the gallery yells out, "Free Palestine!" And you can see the look on Tiger's face says it all. Anger. Anger is caused by frustration. Last April, a 36-year-old special ed teacher named Michelle Smith from Hardin, Illinois, got so sick and tired of trying to deal with her students that she left at Calhoun County High School. She left a bomb threat note in the school bathroom, a note that said this: "I'm sick trying to deal with all these people here. So this school is going down today. So kaboom and goodbye. And because of that, that woman's looking at 5 years in prison. Anger is caused by frustration. Anger is caused by unmet needs. Saw a woman the other day had a shirt on that said, "All men are idiots, and I married their king." Kevin, how can they call me a stay-at-home mom when I spend all my time driving my kids all over Kingdom Come? Anger can be a learned behavior. Your old man taught you the solution to every problem was to pick it up, throw it against the wall, and bust it in a million pieces. Angry people usually come from angry families. Today, anger is even cultural in America, like road rage. Yellow doesn't mean stop, it means floor it before it turns red. If you have an honor student, maybe he can teach you how to use a turning signal. Yes, we old people speed because I have to get somewhere before I forget where I'm going. So get out of my way. There's a video game called Angry Birds. Burger King sells an Angry Whopper. Your phone GPS argues with your car GPS on what's the best route to take. Don't tell me that we don't have a national anger problem. Now, some anger is justified, and especially God's anger about our sin. That word wrath in the original Greek literally means to boil. So God is boiling mad about our sin. And that's why the King James Version here uses that word propitiation, or Greek hilasmos, which literally means something that takes away God's wrath and calms him down. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross propitiates God's wrath. But see, the problem is Christians today think God is just like Mr. Rogers, who never gets ticked off about anything. And that's why instead of the word propitiation, the NIV uses the phrase atoning sacrifice. And the RSV uses the phrase expiation. But see, expiation just means removal of guilt. Propitiation means removal of wrath. You cannot deny the wrath of God, because if you do, you miss the incredible thing that the cross of Jesus Christ really is. See, God didn't pay the price for our sin, just like picking up a check at Hank's Farm after everybody eats. God really, really hates our sin. But he still really, really loves us. So much, he gave the most precious thing he had, Jesus Christ, his son, on a cross, to take the sin away and to take the wrath away, so that he could have a relationship with us. See, usually when we hurt somebody's feelings, when we make somebody mad, it's up to us to do something to make it right. We apologize to them or send them a gift card to Cracker Barrel and send some flowers. But we did something against God. It's still God who took it upon himself to make it right with us, even though he wasn't guilty. On the cross, where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. That's not only a good song, it's also good theology. Some anger is justified, but most of it isn't. And unjustified anger is called sin. And that kind of anger separates us from God and separates us from other people. And it starts taking control of your life. And it becomes your only focus. And you walk around with a 5,000-pound chip on your shoulder, kicking and gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. And if you don't think that kind of anger can cause any damage, if you don't think that kind of anger can destroy your marriage and your family and your job, just ask Roseanne Barr. Can even take your life. Last February the 6th, 51-year-old Patrick Graves from Burnsville, Minnesota, got fired from his job at the Goodrich Corporation. 2 hours later, he drove back to the plant, parked in front of the main office, took out a .38, shot himself in the head, and committed suicide in front of dozens and dozens of his coworkers, leaving behind a wife and 3 kids. The biggest mistakes we make in our lives are those things that we do in anger. People, listen to me. Anger kills. Do we understand what it does to us when we are angry with somebody else? I need a volunteer up here. Steve, could you come up here? He didn't volunteer. He was voluntold. Now, Steve is a really, really nice guy, in case you don't know. He would do absolutely anything for you. But we're going to pretend this morning that there's dirt between me and him because he dinged my car door out in the church parking lot. And he ran over my dog on Highway 71. And he left a big box of kittens on my front porch. You'd never do that.
No, she wouldn't want me.
Okay. And even though we go to the same church and he supposedly apologized to me and I said no problem, deep down inside, I still really haven't forgiven him because a lot of those kittens had fleas. And even though it may not show on the outside, the Bible says that we are tied to whoever the person is that we don't forgive. So I'm going to take this rope and I'm going to tie one end around my leg. And I'm going to tie the other end of it around Steve's leg. And I'm going to tie us together. Tied to the person that I do not forgive. If I can remember how to make a knot. Okay. Now, Steve, I'm going to ask you to go in that direction, and I'm going to go in this direction, and we'll see what happens. Does everybody see this?
What are you following me around for?
We're not in sync. We're not together. We're not cooperating with each other. We're working against each other because we're not moving in the same direction. And everything I try to do, everywhere I try to go, I've got this hanging on me. And it's hurting me. And it's tripping me up. And it's holding me back. When we are tied in anger to somebody else, that person controls you and keeps you from moving forward. But what would happen if I got rid of that anger and made things right with Steve? Now, we'd still be tied, but now we would be in sync. And we would be together. And we would be moving in the same direction. So let's try it. Right, left, right. <Hey. laughs> Left, see, he's not hurting me, he's not tripping me up, he's not holding me back, and both of us are moving forward and going somewhere. Obviously, the best thing is to be free of all the anger that we have against somebody else who hurts us. Okay, thank you. If I can get this off, you can go back to your seat. Okay, I'll get my foot out. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
The first thing we need to do to be free of anger, we need to understand it. We go on this text, we see something else. A second thing we need to do in order to be free of anger, we not only need to understand it, we also need to surrender it. Surrender it to the cross of Christ. And that is exactly what verse 2 is talking about here. Now, we need to realize anger is not something bad that happens to us. Anger is just one way we choose to respond to something bad that happens to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. So the issue is not the anger, it's what we do with it and how we express it that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Nicholas Cruz was born with brain damage. His bio parents abandoned him. His adopted parents died on him. He had learning disabilities. He had OCD. He got picked on in school so bad, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, Parkland, had an area known as the Emo Gazebo where all the freak kids hung out. And Nicholas Cruz wasn't even accepted there. Even the rejects rejected him. Gee, do you think maybe that kid had some anger issues going on? Last Valentine's Day, shoots and kills 17 people and wounds 50 others. Obviously, there is a right way and a wrong way to deal with anger. So the question is, when anger comes up, are you going to respond with God's way? Or are you going to respond to it the devil's way? Because I'll tell you right now, the devil's way doesn't work. He doesn't want you to know that, but it doesn't. The devil tells you to keep your anger buried. Previous slide. Ever since 1962, there has been an underground coal fire burning underneath the town of Centralia, Pennsylvania. 56 years now. And that town was ruined a long time ago because every once in a while that fire will flare up and firemen have to come and put it out so it doesn't burn up everything around it. Fire doesn't stay buried. And you know what? Neither does anger. So let me ask you this morning, how long has that anger been burning inside of you? Just underneath your surface. And how many things in your life have been ruined? Because every once in a while, that anger flares up and starts to burn everything around you. And what are you doing right now to put that anger out? You need to surrender it to the cross. The devil tells women that they've got to give their boyfriends and their husbands the silent treatment. But they don't realize, for most guys, that's a win-win. Silent treatment, bring it on. More peace and quiet for me. The silent treatment doesn't work. The devil tells people to try to bury their anger and keep it hidden by being passive aggressive. So they post messages on Facebook like, I'm done with some people. Listen, if you're mad about something, come out and say it and save the drama for your mama. Amen. The devil tells people just to let their anger explode. So all over America right now, we have people paying $10 a minute to go into an anger room and bust up furniture with a sledgehammer. But the problem is that doesn't take the anger away. All it does is teach people that the best way to deal with anger is to act like a bull in a china shop. The devil tells people to make excuses for their anger. I don't need to manage my anger. Other people just need to manage their stupidity. Those squeezy stress balls really work when you shove them down other people's throats. Kevin, I blow up at my wife, but I'm just teaching her a lesson. No, what you're really doing is giving the devil a foothold. And you give the devil an inch, he'll be a ruler. The devil is trying to use your anger to destroy your marriage. So the question is, what are you trying to do to stop him? You got to surrender that anger to the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil tells you you've got to fixate on your anger. Dear Abby, I've been divorced for 5 years now from a husband who cheated on me, burned through all my money, and humiliated me over and over again. And even though it's been 5 years, I still hate him with a passion. I'm constantly obsessing about the fact that my ex has moved on and remarried, and I haven't. I plot every day in my mind about making his life miserable, and I even fantasize about slitting the tires on his car and kidnapping his new wife and even blowing up his house. But even those dreams don't give me any relief. I've been to counseling, but I can't move forward because I just can't get rid of all the anger I still have for him. Signed, can't get over it in Pennsylvania. No, you don't overcome anger by dwelling on it. You can't overcome anger by carrying it around with you. Last April the 10th, 22-year-old Jack Frissell had just parked his car at the Kentucky Motor Speedway in Sparta, Kentucky, his truck, when all of a sudden that entire truck just burst into flames, just exploded. And he had to be airlifted to a special hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, because he was being burned alive. And why did that happen? Because he had had a cookout earlier in the day, and he was in such a hurry to get to the speedway, he took his charcoal grill and put it in the back of his truck. But there were still hot coals in that grill, and he put it right next to a propane tank that he was also hauling in the back of that truck. You carry that anger around with you, eventually it's going to explode and burn you alive. The only right way to deal with anger, you've got to take it to the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is exactly what God did with his. Most people don't realize when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he not only died for the sins that you committed. Verse 2 here reminds us Jesus also died for the sins of the entire world, including all the sins that other people committed against you too. Does everybody understand that? So people have this notion that whatever anybody did to me, the cross doesn't have any effect on that at all. And it's wrong. When God got mad at our sin, he took it to the cross. When we get mad at other people's sin, we take it to the cross. That's the model. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now. You say, but Kevin, that person deserves to be punished for what they did to me. No, Jesus Christ already was punished for what that person did to you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the punishment that brings us peace was upon him. Now, I'm not talking about not holding people accountable for criminal activity. I'm talking about getting anger out of people's hearts. Kevin, that person has to pay for what they did to me. No, Jesus Christ already paid for what that person did to you. So the question is, are you going to let Jesus pay for that once and for all? Or are you going to pay for it yourself by spending the rest of your life chewing on nails? You want to take your anger out on somebody? Take it out on him. And you can take it out on Jesus because he already took it 2,000 years ago. All your anger problems, every reason that you are mad in a snort right now, he took it all on himself so you wouldn't have to. And I know what you're feeling inside. I feel exactly the same way. Somebody hurts us, we want to beat them like a piñata on Cinco de Mayo. But folks, that's not going to take the anger away. It's just going to make it worse. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, by his wounds, not their wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. And when Jesus takes the hurt away, he also takes the anger away. And I know there's somebody listening to me right now saying, Kevin, surrendering that anger to Jesus Christ, does that really work? Just ask her. If there is one famous picture that shows the hell that the Vietnam War really was, it's that famous picture of the little burning girl running down the road. June 8th, 1972, the United States military bombed a Viet Cong village called Trang Bang, where little 9-year-old Kim Phuc and her family were hiding in a Buddhist temple. But all of a sudden, a bomb knocked her to the ground and a big gob of napalm fell on top of her. And instantly, her back and her neck were on fire. And she started screaming, hot, hot. And a U.S. soldier came up and poured water on her body. But that just made the napalm burn into her even deeper. And it hurt her so bad, she eventually passed out. And 3 different doctors pronounced her dead. Woke up in a military hospital, 70% of her body covered with 4th-degree burns. Burns so severe, they went all the way to the bone. Bandaged from head to toe. Every single day those bandages had to be taken off and Kim had to be dunked in a bath and all the dead skin cut off of her. The pain was so horrific she would cry until she couldn't cry anymore. 14 months and 17 surgeries later, they sent her back to her village, which was nothing but ruins. And because of her scars, she felt like a freak. And she thought that nobody would ever love her and nobody would ever want her. And instead of letting her go to school, the communist government of North Vietnam used her as a propaganda tool to make public appearances all over the country. And the pain and the itching and the lack of mobility and no hope and no future and no joy. She hated herself and all she wanted to do was to commit suicide and die. People, you talk about being mad at the world. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the anger that that girl had inside of her? And to try to find some answers, she turned to the religion of Kay Dao, which then worshiped the major gods of all the major religions of the world, except Christianity, because the communist government, North Vietnam, had banned Christianity. But no matter how many times Kim prayed to those gods, not one of them ever did diddly squat for her. And the anger continued. Well, eventually, the North Vietnamese government allowed her to go to Cuba, the medical school, a fellow communist country. And even though she wasn't physically strong enough to complete all the training, while she was in Cuba, she met another student from North Vietnam, a guy named Ben Hee, who fell in love with her, scars and all. 5 years later, they got married. And in 1992, when they were on a medical test field trip, they defected to Canada. And even though their life was better, the anger was still inside of her. Against the Americans for bombing her village and scarring her body. Against the communist government for destroying her education and her opportunities. Against all the gods who never heard her prayers. But praise God, one day, 1994, she walked into a library in Toronto. And for the very first time, she got a hold of a Bible. And she started reading about a God who loved her so much, he was scarred and died for her. And Kim Fook prayed to receive Christ. And when she did, instantly, all the anger started to drain away. And she found brand new power to forgive all the people who had ever hurt her. 2 months later, her husband prayed to receive Christ. And in 1997, she started the Kim Foundation that reaches out to child war victims all over the world. And to this day, Kim travels all over the planet speaking to anybody who will listen about the saving power of Jesus Christ. And God not only healed her spiritual scars on the inside, he's also in the process of healing her physical scars on the outside with special laser treatments at the Miami Dermatology Institute. Laser treatments that burn away the old scar tissue and allow brand new skin to grow back in its place. Do you see the incredible difference it's making in that woman's body? This is what Kim said. When I took all my anger and just gave it to Jesus Christ, he took it all away and gave me peace like I had never had before in my life. And I didn't want to die anymore. And I was able to start forgiving all the people who ever hurt me. And I realized, as bad as things were, that God allowed all those things to happen to me. But he was also there right in the middle of it to save me and give me this new life. I tell anyone who will listen, if you are bound by anger, look at what Jesus did for me. If that little burn girl in that picture can learn how to forgive, you can too. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this message. I don't care who you are. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care what kind of a bomb has gone off in your life. I don't care what kind of people have hurt you or burned you beyond recognition. I don't care how much anger you have inside. I don't care how long you've been carrying that anger around. Today, right here, right now, if you start surrendering that anger to Jesus Christ, he will start taking it away. And in return, he will start giving you a peace like you have never known before in your entire life. People, that is what the cross of Jesus Christ can do. Amen. Now, how that cross exactly works, I don't know. But I know that it does work. And no matter how bad your situation is, I also know that it'll work for you. The second thing we need to do in order to be free of anger, we need to surrender it. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do in order to be free from anger. We not only need to understand it, we not only need to surrender it, but third, we need to control it. Once we surrender that anger problem to Jesus Christ, then we learn how to control it whenever it comes up. Because even though we're Christians, we're still in natural bodies with natural emotions. You don't let anger control you. You control it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Anger is crouching at the door, but you must master it. And you know what? It's not impossible to do, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we control anger all the time. You and your wife can be screaming at each other loud enough to blister the wallpaper. And then the phone rings, and you go, "Oh, Pastor, we're just doing fine. In fact, we were just reading the Bible together." You flip it on and off like a switch. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. When anger comes up, search your heart and be silent. In other words, calm down and process it and analyze it. Now, every single one of us always thinks that all of our anger is always totally justified. But is it? What is it that's really tripping your trigger? And do you really have a legitimate reason to be mad? Kevin, I get mad because every single morning traffic makes me late. No, the reason you're late every morning is because you don't get your butt out of bed soon enough. My parents are always on my back getting me to clean up my room. I've got a solution for that. Last September, 16-year-old Jason Toriano from Landover, Maryland, was arrested for hiring a hitman to try to kill his parents because they grounded him from TV for a week. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's appropriate anger. In order to control our anger, we need to do what Jesus did to control his anger. In John chapter 8, when Jesus was being slammed by the Pharisees, Jesus just bent over and drew some pictures in the dirt. Luke chapter 4, verse 30, when people tried to kill Jesus, he just walked away from the crowd. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, the Son of God, with all authority in heaven and on earth, beaten to a bloody pulp and nailed to a cross for something he didn't do, didn't even open his mouth and say anything to defend himself. 1 Peter 2:23, Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus surrendered his right to be angry. So let me ask you, are we doing that? We think we have a right to everything that we want, every time we want it, whenever, wherever. We think we have a right to be heard. We have a right to be respected. We have a right to be treated special like the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. But listen to me, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we don't have any rights because everything we get from God is a gift that we cannot earn and do not deserve. Amen. So step down from your throne, go to the cross, crucify the flesh, 86 that entitlement mentality, and surrender your right to be angry, because that's what Jesus did. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now saying, well, Kevin, that's easy for you to say. No, because I have to do this too as a pastor of a church. All pastors do, at least the ones that give a rip about their congregations. When somebody leaves this church or a staff person resigns and goes out and starts saying all kinds of things to other people, I can't be like President Trump with a Twitter account and counter everything that they say. You have no idea how hard it is for me to stand up here on a Sunday morning wanting to spill my guts and tell you all kinds of things that you don't know and set the record straight. But for the sake of any possible unity and any possible peace in this congregation in the future, I can't do that. Or we'd be splattering each other all over the four walls. Just ask yourself a question. Is there another side to that story that person is telling? Last Sunday, the Cubs game at Wrigley Field. First base coach Mike Venable tossed the ball to a young fan, a kid, sitting in the front row of the stands. And the guy behind that kid grabbed it and gave it to his wife. And that guy was a lifelong Cub fan, attending his very first game at Wrigley Field. And he and his wife were on their honeymoon. This is what the exchange looked like.
At the following clip.
And make it a souvenir for somebody. Will Venable was still playing in this game 2 years ago.
And that video went viral. And social media had a cow. Because that video made it look like that guy was a jerk. What kind of a lowlife takes a baseball away from a kid? And the blowback on social media was so bad, that couple were afraid to come out of their hotel room that night. But later on, when this guy with the blue shirt on heard about all the commotion going on social media, he tweeted to set the record straight. And he let everybody know earlier in that game, that guy had gotten another ball. And he had given that ball to the same kid in the front row. And then that ball that he got just then, after he gave it to his wife and she took a picture of it, she gave that ball to the kid sitting next to her on her right. So that couple never kept any baseballs they got that day. They gave them all away to all kinds of kids around them. Gee, maybe that guy really wasn't a scumbag after all. And all that to say this. You don't know the whole picture. There's two sides to every story. Everything is not always as it seems. Everything is not always like you think. Everything is not always like one person tells you it is. You need to sacrifice and surrender your right to be angry because you don't know all the facts. And I need to surrender my right to be angry and just trust God that the truth is going to come out and He's going to take care of everything, because there is something far more important than all of our hurt feelings, and that's our witness as Christians to the world around us. And that's all I need to say about that. In order to control your anger, you've got to forgive the people who hurt you. Even if you have to break off the relationship, even if you have to get a divorce, even if you have to call the police, you still need to forgive them, because that's what Jesus did. And forgiving them means you don't release the flying monkeys and try to get revenge, because Jesus never tried to get revenge. Kevin, I don't get mad, I get even. No. Kevin, I'll bury the hatchet right in the back of her head. No. Lord, vengeance is yours, I just want to be your assistant. No. Revenge doesn't take the anger away. And people who seek revenge are really digging two graves. Hurt people hurt people. But forgiven people forgive people. Because carrying around that hurt ain't going to hurt anybody but you. In order to control our anger, we need to realize that God has a purpose for that anger. And for allowing all those things to happen that cause that anger. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So we need to ask, Lord, this thing in my life right now that's frying my bacon, what's your purpose in this? What are you trying to do in this? Back in 1980, God used the anger of a mom named Candace Leitner over her 13-year-old daughter being killed by a drunk driver to start that organization, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's done incredible things in the last 38 years. God used the anger of people in this church over the devil having people bound and locked up to start ministries like divorce care and men's recovery group. Listen to me. I don't care how bad the anger is in your life. God wants to use that to do something incredible in your life. Just like He did with him. Tua Tagovailoa is a born-again Christian who grew up in Iwa Beach, Hawaii, knowing he was called to glorify God by playing football. So all the while that kid was growing up, he trained and he practiced. Slept with a football in bed with him like a teddy bear. And by the time he was in Pop Warner at 8 years old, he could already throw a 40-yard pass. Went to St. Louis High School in Honolulu, personally mentored by NFL quarterback and fellow Hawaiian and fellow St. Louis High School alumnus Marcus Mariota. Tua Tagovailoa was a 5-star recruit, the number one quarterback in the 2017 college class, and turned down offers from every major football power in the country to sign with Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Tua's family even moved all the way from Hawaii, all the way to Alabama, just to watch him play his games. But that's where the frustration started. Because Alabama already had a starting quarterback named Jalen Hurts, who had taken Alabama to the championship game just the year before. So the only time Tua ever got to see the field was for mop-up duty during blowouts. And he hated it. Because in case you don't know, 5-star recruits don't sign at Power 5 major college football programs to stand on the sideline. But because he was a Christian, Tua just kept taking that anger and turning it over to Jesus Christ. But the problem was, Tua was a lot better passer than Jalen Hurts. And everybody knew it. All the players knew it. All the fans knew it. All the coaches knew it. Alabama's offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, even resigned after the season was over because he wanted Tua to start Alabama's tough games in November. And Coach Saban said no. And Alabama ended up losing their last regular season game to Auburn because Jalen Hurts couldn't get the offense going. And Tua never even got to see the field. And he was this close, to transfer into USC when he would have been the starting quarterback for sure. But he prayed about it and God said no. So he stayed at Alabama and he just kept taking that anger and surrendering to the Lord over and over again. And he kept using that anger to be the most ready, the most prepared, the best he could possibly be whenever his opportunity came. And it did. January 8th, last year, national championship game, college football playoffs. Jalen Hurts played horrible, and Alabama was trailing Georgia 13-0 at halftime. Nick Saban knew his offense needed to throw the ball to win, so he started Tua in the second half. And good thing, because Tua Tagovailoa led Alabama to 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals. They tied the game at 20, sent it into overtime. Georgia got the ball in overtime. They kicked a 51-yard field goal to go up 23-20. Alabama's turn with the ball, first play from scrimmage, Tua Tagovailoa gets sacked for a 16-yard loss. And Alabama Nation's ready to jump off the ledge when this happened. 2nd and 26 from the 41-yard line, Tua does this.
Great coverage downfield by Georgia. And just being a young quarterback not put in this situation. Bellamy almost gets him there. See, that's where you'd like to see him throw it away. Nobody's open. You got to give up on the play, throw it away, get outside of the pocket and play on 2nd and 10. That's his youth right there.
Tagovailoa trying to make up for it. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins!
Alabama's fifth national championship in 9 years and the greatest platform that Tua Tagovailoa has ever had in his life to give glory to Jesus Christ. And today, Tua is not only the projected starter for Alabama in the 2018 season, he's also one of the leading preseason candidates for the Heisman Trophy. This is what Tua Tagovailoa said. Before the playoffs, I told my dad, I'm done, and I'm transferring to Southern Cal. I was so mad about not getting any playing time, but if I had given in to that and quit, I would have never gotten the opportunity and the victory and the miracle that I got that night, or the incredible opportunity that I have now to give glory to Jesus Christ. Anger can cost you the greatest blessings in your life, but thank God I didn't make that mistake. People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're angry about. I don't care how long you've been dealing with that anger. If you quit, you're going to miss your opportunity. You're going to miss your victory. You're going to miss your miracle. But if you take that anger and use it for the purposes that God has for you, God will take the worst thing that ever happened in your life and He will turn it into your greatest blessing. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. An angry spirit leads to defeat, but whoever is patient has victory. But listen to me, that victory will never, ever come if you don't trust God to do that, and if you don't take your anger and start turning it over to Jesus Christ. This verse in the original Greek starts out like this: He Himself, Jesus Himself. And that's a good reminder, because we get so bent out of shape about all the things we're mad about, we forget this isn't about us. It's about Him. This is not about our anger. It's about His grace. It's not about bad things that people did to us in the past. It's about good things that God wants to do for us in the future by taking away our anger and having us serve Him for His glory. People, listen, the greatest blessing, the greatest breakthrough of your life is just beyond the anger that you are feeling right now. So let me ask you, you want to deal with anger God's way? You want to deal with it the devil's way? You want to control your anger by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or do you want that anger to control you by the power of a demonic spirit? You want to be free? You want to be bound? You want to be better? Or do you want to be bitter? You want to spend the rest of your life praising God? You want to spend the rest of your life grinding your gears and chewing nails? Right here, right now, what's it going to be? Lord, I just pray for every one of us in this room. There are times when the devil wants to use that anger to eat us alive, all kinds of slights and hurts, many things nobody else will ever know about. And we want to hold on to those. We want to cherish those. We want to obsess about them, think about them every single day and hold grudges. I pray right now that you just start releasing that in all of our hearts. Lord, we give that to you. And even if we don't have the will to do it now, we pray, Lord, that you would give us that will and that desire to do that. Just thank you, Lord, that you are a God who sets us free of all things that hold us back. All this we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.